الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and as such we praise Him and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to his companions and to all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with Sharh al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Sabi bin Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we were dealing with the chapter dealing with Allah's attribute or attributes, in this case the attribute of afu, pardoning, the attribute of maghfira, what does it mean? Forgiving or forgiveness. Na'am. Ar-Rahma, mercy. Wal-Izza, honor, might, power, depending on the context. Wal-Qudra, omnipotence or ultimate ability, the ability to do all things. Tayyib. And we were dealing with the whole idea of pardoning people who have transgressed against us, and that it is highly recommended that we pardon people in order to gain the reward from Allah, because Allah says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whosoever pardons and he reconciles, you know, between the problems that ones are having, the people are having, then his reward is due from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then the Shaykh mentioned something very important. He said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعَفُوَ قَدْ يَكُونَ وَلَكِنَ الْعَفُوَ يَشْتَرِطْ لِلْثَنَاءِ عَلَى فَعِلِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَقْرُونًا بِالْإِصْلَاحِ. But for pardoning to be means of one being praised, the pardoner that is, it is conditional that the doer is doing so as means of rectification, to rectify conditions. Because Allah said that. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعَفُوَ, because Allah says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. I just said that earlier. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْعَفْوَ قَدْ يَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِلزِّيَادَةِ فِي الطُّغْيَانِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And the reason being is because at times pardoning may be a cause for transgression and increase in evil. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ سَبَبًا لِلْإِنْتِهَاءِ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, or it may be means to prevent that or stop that. وَقَدْ لَا يَزِيدُ الْمُعْتَدِي وَلَا يَنْقُصُهُ, or it could be that it does not increase in transgression, nor does it decrease it. Person remains the same. Then the Shaykh will break it down, rahimahullah. He says, number one, فَإِذَا كَانَ سَبَبًا لِلزِّيَادَةِ فِي الطُّغْيَانِ كَانَ الْعَفُوْ هُنَا مَذْمُومًا. If pardoning someone will be means for them to increase in transgression, then pardoning becomes blameworthy. Blameworthy, meaning they deserve to be blamed, meaning it is not good, it is not positive, it is not pleasing. It is the other way around. وَرُبَّمَا يَكُونُ مَمْنُوعًا, rather it may be prohibited. You're not allowed to pardon this person, period. مِثِلْ أَن نَعْفُوَ عَنْ هَذَا الْمُجْرِمْ وَنَعْلَمْ أَوْ يَغْلِبُ عَلَى الظَّنَّ أَنَّهُ يَذْهَبْ فَيُجْرِمْ إِجْرَامًا أَكْبَرْ. Such as pardoning a criminal while assuming, either knowing or having a high probability that he will go out and perform a more major crime. And he is a criminal, and we know from tendencies, from the circumstances around him, that he will probably continue in his ways. Right? He has no signs of regret, no signs of wanting to change his ways. He doesn't care. You know, he's caught as a criminal and his mind is, I'm still out to get what I want. If we have such indications, then we don't pardon this person. Rather, it may be haram to pardon him. Now, the Shaykh said, فَهُنَا لَا يُمْدَحْ الْعَافِي عَنْهُ بَلْ يُذَمْ. So the one who pardons there is not praised. Rather, he is blamed because he is aiding in the increase of criminal activity and so on and so forth. This was first. Second, وَقَدْ يَكُونُ الْعَفْوَ أَوْ الْعَفْوُ سَبَبًا لِلْإِنْتِهَاءِ عَنِ الْعُدْوَانِ. And pardoning may be means to eliminate transgression. بِحَيْثُ يَخْجَلْ وَيَكُولَ هَذَا الَّذِي عَفَ عَنِّي لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَدِي عَلَيْهِ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى وَلَا عَلَى أَحَدٍ غَيْرِهِ. Whereby the one who has transgressed will say to himself, this person who has pardoned me, I don't have the courage, I'm too ashamed to ever transgress against him again or anyone else. Yani he was in a situation where he deserved punishment. But because of that pardoning of the people, he will be ashamed of himself to ever do this again, whether to the one who pardoned him or to other people. فَيَخْجَلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ هُوَ مِنَ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. So he becomes ashamed that he will be among the transgressors. وَهَذَا الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْعَافِينَ. This is one who is supposed to be pardoned. فَالْعَفُ هُنَا مَحْمُودٌ وَمَطْلُوبٌ. So pardoning in this context is praiseworthy, rather it is recommended. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ وَاجِبًا. And it may become obligatory to pardon in this case. ثَالِثًا وَقَدْ يَكُونُ الْعَفُ لَا يُؤَثِّرُ لَا ازْدِيَادًا وَلَا نُقْصًا. The pardoning may not make a difference. It may not have any effect, not in increasing this person's transgression, nor in him continuing in his ways. فَهُوَ أَفْضَلْ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبَ لِلتَّقْوَى. أَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَى عَفْوًا. وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَى. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 237. In this case, if it's balanced, right, if it's neutral, we don't have any indications that he will either, it would be good for him or it would be bad for him. In this case, pardoning is better. Because Allah says, if you pardon, this is nearer to taqwa. If you forgive, this is nearer to taqwa. Among the means to acquire righteousness and piety. And so in this case, you pardon. وَهُنَا يَقُولُ تَعَالَى أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Or if you pardon an offense, indeed Allah is ever pardoning and competent. يعني إذا عفوتم عن السوء عفى الله عنكم. Which means if you pardon some evil, some offense against you, then Allah will pardon you. وَيُؤْخَذَ هَذَا الْحُكْمُ مِنَ الْجَوَابِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. We deduce this ruling from the end of the verse. Verily Allah is ever pardoning and competent. لِأَنَّ كَمَالِ الْعَفُوْ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَنْ قُدْرَةٍ. Because the ultimate form of pardoning is when it is associated with ability to take revenge. أَمَّا الْعَفُوْ الَّذِي يَكُونُ عَنْ عَجِزٍ فَهَذَا لَا يُمْدَحُ فَاعِلُهُ. As for the one who is pardoning because he's unable to take revenge, right? So, a big man, comes, knocks you out, punches you a few times, and you're like a tiny little man, like myself. And so you sit there and say, I'm going to forgive you. And in fact, you don't want to forgive him, but if you try to go and beat him up, he will beat you up again. And right, so say, listen man, so here, pardoning is not praiseworthy in a sense because you're unable to take revenge. But if I was a big man, right, and if I punched him, back, I would knock him out, then I pardon him, then mashallah tabarakallah. This is when it is praiseworthy. So it's actually situational. لأنه عاجز عن الأخذ بالثأر. He's unable to take revenge. وأما العفو الذي لا يكون مع قدرة فهو قد يمدح لكنه ليس عفوا كاملا. As for pardoning that is not associated with ability, then it may be praiseworthy, but it is not the ultimate form of pardoning. بل العفو الكامل ما كان عن قدرة. The best form of pardoning is when you're able to take revenge, and then you pardon someone. This is the ultimate case. ولهذا جمع الله تعالى بين هذين الاسمين العفو والقدير. This is why Allah عز وجل يرحمك الله. This is why Allah سبحانه وتعالى combined these two names in the ayah. العفو, the ever pardoning, والقدير, the competent. وعليكم السلام. فالعفو هو المتجاوز عن سيئات عباده. The pardoner, which is the name of Allah عز وجل, one of the names and attributes of Allah, which is what we're dealing with right now, is the one who overlooks the evil deeds of his slaves. And when we use the term overlook, we are using it in the context that is understood by the people of that language. It does not mean to overlook something, meaning to miss it or not be able to identify it. So we don't understand, because overlook may يعني indicate or suggest that you're looking, the physical looking. But in the among the English language speakers, overlooking something meaning not making it a big deal. It does not mean that you're not paying attention to it or you're unaware of it, right? So alaykum salam. So this is fundamental. Maybe, but because you run out of words sometimes, what are you going to use to explain an Arabic word? So it's a technical issue. Overlooking does not mean not knowing or not paying attention. It means knowing but not making a big deal out of it. So your son, you know, you see him drop some juice on the floor and you overlook his mistake. It doesn't mean you were not aware of that action. It means that you're not going to make a big deal out of it. You understand what I'm saying? So then Al-Afu is the one who overlooks the errors of his slaves. Not that he doesn't know of them. It's just that he chooses not to hold them accountable. Not to make it an issue. طيب. والغالب أن العفو يكون عن ترك الواجبات والمغفرة عن فعل المحرمات. Predominantly, usually, عفو is associated with leaving obligations. Meaning when there's an obligation that we're supposed to fulfill and we don't do that, then Allah does عفو. He pardons that shortcoming. Whereas maghfirah has to do with committing sins. When we commit things that we're not supposed to commit, huh? Then we have maghfirah. Very technical, very interesting as well. Probably never heard this before in our lives. Right or wrong? Beautiful. Usually then, afu is when someone has some obligations to carry out, but does not do them. Keeping the kinship ties, huh? Things of this nature. And he has some shortcomings in this area. Then Allah will pardon that shortcoming. Maghfirah, forgiving, is when one commits violations and then Allah forgives them for that.
Maghfirah is for major and that's for minor. Afu is for minor sins.
I don't know of that distinction. Afu does not necessarily mean with minor sin. What's the evidence for that? You follow me? We don't mind, right? But we have to have an evidence that suggests that, you know, this is particular to that.
For example, if you're not keeping the ties of kinship, that is minor to...
This is a major sin. Not keeping the kinship ties is among the most major sins. In the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the sirat will be cast across Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. And the sila will come on the right and the amana will come on the left of the sirat, or the other way around. I don't know which one will be on the right, left. And they will ask for their rights. They will ask for their rights, meaning person will not be able to cross over the path over Jahannam without having fulfilled the rahim. And Allah created the rahim, and He told the rahim when He created, is it pleasing to you that I connect whoever connects you and that I cut off whoever cuts you off? She said, yes. He said, then this is for you. You shall have that. Whoever does not keep his kinship ties, Allah will cut him off. And there's a surah in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا إله إلا الله أو أم حسبتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم أولئك الذين لعنهم الله. And Allah says, He mentioned something about that. He said that you cause corruption upon the earth and you cut your kinship ties. It is those whom Allah has cursed. وَأَضَلَّ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. And he made their deeds go in vain. So silat al-rahim, akhi, is a major sin.
Right. All of the good deeds are in vain.
How is it?
All of the good deeds are in vain.
We understand Islam not through one ayah or one hadith. We have general statements. We have ayat that say whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, his abode will be Jahannam, eternally abiding therein. Right? So we don't take the ruling of everything in Islam from this one ayah, otherwise all of us are going to Jahannam. You follow me?
Yeah.
We have to look into the made other ayat. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. So this, when you hear an ayah and we quote a book from the book of Allah, we say it as it is. But we understand as listeners and as speakers that this one particular ruling, okay, has to be understood in the light of other ayat. Otherwise, this is how the Khawarij became the Khawarij. They misunderstood some things and they took them, you know, as is, and they ignored and neglected other verses and narrations, and they wanted to go doing takfir against the Sahaba. You follow me? No. Anyways, the methodology of the classes that we try to postpone any discussions or questions till the end of the dars, inshallah. Barakallahu feek, as to not to lose the track, because I'm the type of guy who if I miss a point, it all falls out, and then I just start talking nonsense. And I don't want you to hear my nonsense. But good points.
But I think initially he was trying to clarify. He misunderstood the first point.
Yeah, yeah.
He was saying upward maqsad of a what? For minor or major? He misunderstood and I think he was trying to clarify.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. No, but that led to other things. Yeah. Yes. Initially, even that misunderstanding could be postponed till the end, inshallah. And we could deal with it. I'm aware of what happened with him, you know, alhamdulillah. It's all good. طيب. والقدير ذو القدرة أو القدرة وهي صفة يتمكن بها الفاعل من الفعل بدون عجز. As for the قدير, which is we said competent or omnipotent, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, is the one who possesses ultimate ability, meaning it's an attribute of whereby the doer is able to do anything without anything preventing it. Okay, كن فيكون. There's nothing in the heavens and the earth, nowhere, that can stand against kun fayakun. If Allah says to something be, it is. This is qudra. Now we don't have that. Nobody has that in the ultimate sense. This is of Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب, the Shaykh says, وَهَذَانِ الْإِسْمَانِ يَتَضَمَّنَانِ صِفَتَيْنِ وَهُمَا الْعَفُ وَالْقُدْرَ. Then these two particular names of Allah include two attributes. Remember, we said not every one attribute may not have a name. Every name has an attribute, but not every attribute has a name. Example. Hello? Example of an attribute that doesn't have a name. No. Ali. Yes, I mean raising above the throne particularly, yes. But something more easy. Do we know Ayat al-Kursi? What does it say? Fadal. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. This is an attribute. Nor slumber nor sleep overtakes Allah. But do we call Allah la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm? It's an attribute of Allah that doesn't have a name. So sometimes the name has an attribute. Ar-Rahim is a name and an attribute. Sometimes it is not necessarily the case. So here, these two names, Al-Afu and Al-Qadir, are names of Allah and also are associated with Allah's attributes, which is the attribute of Afu, pardoning, and Qudra, competent or omnipotence. Jameel. Al-Ayat, this was the first ayah dealing with what? Sifatul Afu. Allah is the ever-pardoner. The second one is al-maghfira. Al-ayat al-thaniya fi al-maghfirati wal-rahma. Both actually, forgiveness and mercy. And we will be quoting Surah An-Nur, verse 22. قَوْلُهُ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is ever forgiving and most merciful. هذه الآية نزلت في أبي بكر رضي الله عنه. This particular ayah was revealed concerning Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is the third or the fourth Khalifa of the Muslims. The first, not the third or the fourth. Otherwise, you're starting to follow some other people. Hey. Actually, they don't even put him on the third or the fourth. They put him in the label of among the disbelievers. Some crazy, outlandish, so-called Muslims. Who dare to say that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the Siddiq of this Ummah, is a disbeliever, along with Umar and along with Uthman, along with the Sahaba. And these people, Allah yahdihum bas, and may Allah save us from them and from their evil, which is spreading nowadays among the Muslim Ummah. Ala kulli hal. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ مِصْطَح بِنْ أُثَاثَ. This is the name of the Sahabi, Mistah بن أثاثة رضي الله عنه كان ابن خالة أبي بكر. He was Abu Bakr's nephew, right? وكان ممن تكلموا في الإفك. And he was among those who spoke about the إفك. And what is the إفك? عليكم السلام. What is the إفك يا شباب؟ أي إفك. What does إفك mean linguistically? إفك
slander,
lies, fabrications, falsifying information, coming up with things that are not in agreement with the truth. وَقِصَّةُ الْإِفْكِ أَنَّ قَوْمًا مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ تَكَلَّمُوا فِي عِرْضِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. وليس والله قصدهم عائشة ولكن قصدهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The story of Ifk is that a group among the hypocrites, the major hypocrites, right? That we have a minor hypocrisy and major hypocrisy. They spoke about the honor of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Shaykh said, and by Allah, they did not mean Aisha. Their issue was not Aisha. Their issue was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're trying to harm him. أن يدنسوا فراشة وأن يلحقوه العار والعياذ بالله. That they, what can I say, defile his bed, meaning claim that his wife is a no good woman, right? And because if the woman is no good, then you know the man becomes a nothing, you know, in the sight of people. Usually, a person is belittled if his wife, you know, goes out in the street. I mean, as far as we are concerned, you know, you walk in the marketplace and you see a man with his wife, you know, half naked, right, with the hijab. Somehow they manage to make jilbab and nakedness one and the same. With, you know, big old sleeve, you know, she could put an elephant in there if she wishes to, right? And, you know, be red and yellow and whatever, silver, and, you know, she has her whatever makeup and her hair is showing, her beauty, adornment, gold ring, you know, her chest is visible to the people, and you got some, you know, supposedly a man, you know, walking next to her, you know? And the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, you're not a man. Sorry. Okay, the woman, yeah, but the issue is with the man. Okay, this is your wife, man. This is your wife. How could you have your wife, you know, go out in this fashion? Now, sometimes, you know, you may go with your mother, and your mother may not be really upon the sunnah, but this is your mother, right? There's not much you can do. It's difficult with the mother because you have to be dutiful to her. You may advise her, say, mom, you know, barakallah fiqh, this is not befitting. She doesn't listen. You don't abandon your mom, so you go to the market by yourself. Now you better go with your mom. You see, it's difficult with the mother, with your sister, but your wife, man, that's your wife. There's ta'as, mutlaq, that she must obey you. Otherwise she stays at home. Lock the door, you ain't going anywhere. Either you dress according to the deen of Allah or you stay at home. You want to go to the marketplace, hayakumullah, put on some hijab. So you will not embarrass me in front of people. So if this situation is such, what kind of man will allow his woman to be, you know, dressed in this particular fashion, right? He lacks manhood. This is a natural reaction from men concerning that so-called man. If this is a woman only showing some adornment, what if she was speaking to her boyfriend on the cell phone while her husband was standing next to her? You will think he's totally, you know, nothing. So what about if they say that she's having relations with another man? Then this man is basically on vacation at home. He doesn't know what's going on, and he's definitely, you know, having a problems. So they wanted to hurt and harm the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we seek Allah's refuge. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ فَضَحَهُمْ. But Allah Azza wa Jal and all praises due to Him exposed them. وَقَالَ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبَرَهُ مِنْهُمْ كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, and he who took upon himself the greater portion thereof of this major sin in ifk, for him is a great punishment. The head of the munafiqeen during that time. طيب تكلموا فيها وكان أكثر من تكلم فيها المنافقون. We all know in Surah An-Nur, Allah Azza wa Jal declared her innocence from above the seven heavens, almost two pages addressing this very issue of ifk and the lies and the fabrications, how this is good for the Muslims, that Allah tested them in this particular fashion, and so on and so forth. And Allah says, الطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. The righteous good women are for the righteous good men. The righteous good men are for the righteous good women, and the other way around. وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ. And the evil for the evil. So the Messenger of Allah, the most pure, he will only have a pure wife, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the other way around. And there's this different interpretation of this particular ayah. However, her innocence was revealed in the Quran. And she said, radiallahu anha, in the Sahih Hadith, that when this whole issue happened, she was crying day and night. And she was just, you know, this is traumatizing for someone. And then she was expecting that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will see a dream, or will get Jibreel will come and declare her innocence, you know, via a dream. So when she said, wallahi, I never thought that Allah would reveal a Quran concerning me. So her perception is, I'm no one for Quran to be revealed concerning me. So that was, you know, shocking to her. Then, you know, Prophet ﷺ came smiling, and she, you know, she played the role of her woman. She became, you know, upset, you know, that she had been accused. And Prophet ﷺ had to remain, you know, distant until revelation came. He doesn't know, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is another evidence, he doesn't know the unseen. He's waiting for revelation. You know, what is happening in his own household? You know, if you read the hadith, there's a very يعني, emotional and, you know, a romantic hadith between the Prophet ﷺ and his wife Aisha. I ask Allah to make us among those who learn from these, because we talk about romance and, you know, sometimes we just suck at this stuff, you know, just mean. You know, we think we're dictators at home, and Allah musta'an, Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. طيب. Hey, وكان أكثر ما تكلم فيها المنافقون. So they spoke about this ifk, and among those who spoke the most were the hypocrites. وتكلم فيها نفر من الصحابة معروفون بالصلاح. Also included were a group of the Sahaba, known for righteousness. They were good, but you know, shaitan enters upon everyone from different angles. ومنهم مصطح بن أثاثة. Among them is our companion مصطح بن أثاثة رضي الله عنه. فلما تكلم فيها وكان هذا من أكبر القطيعة قطيعة الرحم أن يتكلم إنسان في قريبه بما يخدش كرامته. And when that, well, he spoke also, he was among those who circulated that information. When that was the biggest form of cutting the kinship ties, severing the kinship ties, because it deals with a person speaking about another in that which affects his honor, let alone his relative, let alone his relative. لا سيما وأن ذلك في أم المؤمنين زوجة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Particularly when this is with the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أقسم أبو بكر أَلَّا يُنْفِقَ عَلَيْهِ. Abu Bakr swore that I will never spend on him again, because he used to spend on him. Then Allah revealed, فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَأْتَ لِأُولُ الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And let not those of virtue, Allah called Abu Bakr among the people of fadl, the people of virtue, wasa'a, and people of wealth, swear not to give aid to the relatives and the needy and the immigrants for the cause of Allah. وكل هذه الأوصاف ثابتة في حق مصطح. And مصطح was, all these were applicable to him. فهو قريب, he is relative. وهو مسكين, he was poor. وهو مهاجر, he was an immigrant who migrated from where to where? From مكة to مدينة. وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم. Then Allah revealed, and let them pardon and overlook. Would you not like that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه بلى والله نحب أن يغفر الله لنا فرد عليه النفقة. So when this was revealed, Abu Bakr said, by Allah, we love it that Allah will forgive us and pardon us, and that Allah will forgive us. And so he returned the aid and the financial assistance that he was providing him with. Even though he had spoken about his daughter and the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had already been spending on him, right? But because the understanding and the attitude of the Sahaba was whatever would bring about Allah's pleasure, then ala ras wal ain, as they say. And this is exactly what we will do. Unlike me and you, right? We don't really care sometimes. I know Allah likes this. I know this is, you know, good. And Allah doesn't like this. But يعني أخي, you know, معليش, you know, كذا, you know, بوبم, you know, غرغر كثير, as they say. That's not the idea. Imagine, man, this one of us would say, you spoke about my daughter, man, you know. Let me talk to you outside, you know. Not only he won't spend on him, he will probably call some gangsters to go and shoot him down the street, or he may beat him up or something along these lines. So, but when the offer of Allah came for forgiveness and pardoning, there was no hesitation. There was no hesitation to return the nafaqah on someone who had done that, because they were looking for Allah's forgiveness and mercy. Who? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, giving glad tidings of Jannah. He knows his status with the Messenger of Allah. He knows that Quran was revealed concerning him. Huh? About the ayah. That what do you say, what the hadith and the ayah? What do you think about two who on whom Allah is the third? لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not grieve, Allah is with us. He knew his status, but you know, they did not think that they were virtuous enough, that they were righteous enough. They wouldn't gamble with this. Any opportunity to seek Allah's pleasure, then they automatically acted accordingly. I hope inshallah we'll follow this kind of lifestyle. If we do so, you'll be living a happy, dandy life. If we don't, then you know, we will only blame ourselves on the Day of Judgment. هذا هو ما نزلت في الآية. This is why this ayah was revealed. It's called سبب النزول, the reason behind revelation. Now there's a very important principle. The principle in tafsir, as mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir Saadi rahimahullah, is that al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khususi sabab. The principle is, the wisdom behind the ayah is not restricted to the wording or the purpose of revelation, rather whatever the terminology accommodates, then all this to be understood. Meaning, this ayah was revealed concerning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Misbah. So you get some individual who says, this is not applicable to me and you, because the reason for revelation is Abu Bakr and Misbah. Then the ulama say, no. What is important to us is the terminology. Allah says that whoever pardons, whoever does that, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. So whoever is in this predicament or this situation, and he has a chance to pardon, then he will receive this promise from Allah. It is not restricted to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because that if we do so, then the Quran will be applicable to none of us to some extent, because everything was revealed for a reason among the Sahaba. So if every ayah we say, well, this is for this and this for that, then what do me and you follow? So then the ulama know this is until the day of judgment, this book of guidance, the Quran, not this one, until the day of judgment. So then everything in it is applicable until the day of judgment, except that which is no doubt among the ulama and the sahaba that is specific to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the ayat dealing with him marrying more than one woman and so on and so forth. Then we have evidence to confine it to one meaning. But generally speaking, it is applicable all across the board, as they say. أما تفسيرها, as for the tafsir of this ayah, فقوله وليعفو وليصفحو, اللام لام الأمر. The lam is lam of command. We don't have it in English, right? There is no such thing in English, but in Arabic, li, you know, to do something, يعني let them do that. It's a command from Allah. وسكنت لأنها أتت بعد الواو, Arabic. ولام الأمر تسكن إذا وقعت بعد الواو, more Arabic. قال الله تعالى ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما آتاه الله. وقال تعالى, oh, he's given other ayat which prove that lam, you know, in this context means command, and why in grammar if it comes after a particular letter or before a letter, then it doesn't have the kasra, rather it is sakina. All this is very technical, and I will deliberately skip that inshallah ta'ala. Al-muhim is the understanding. قوله وليعفو يعني يتجاوز عن الأخذ بالذنب. Then we mentioned pardoning is to overlook holding the person accountable for that transgression, to not make a big deal out of a situation even though you're able to take revenge. وليصفحو أن يعرض عن هذا الأمر ولا يتكلم فيه. And let them, yasfahu is stronger in meaning than afu, which means let them ignore this whole affair and not even speak about it. Which means someone will transgress against you and you will do afu, you're able to take revenge, but you forgive him. However, you continue to talk about this to other people or even to him every time you see him, you know, did you remember what you did to me? Don't you remember how I forgave you? And so on and so forth. This is afu without safh. Safh means khalas. As if nothing ever happened. As if nothing. And you see him the next time, hey brother, how are you? You know? And he's expecting that you may have some grudge. There's still some feelings. But you act totally in a normal fashion. This is a safh. The Shaykh said, مَأْخُوذَ مِنْ صَفْحَةِ الْعُنُقْ وَهِيَ جَانِبُهُ. And it's taken from the side of the neck. لأن الإنسان إذا أعرض فالذي يبدو منه صفحة العنق. Okay, because if a person turns around, turns away, then what you see is that the neck, the صفحة is like a page maybe or something that is flat. الله أعلم what is exactly intended here. على كل حال, والفرق بين العفو والصفح أن الإنسان قد يعفو ولا يصفح. The Sheikh said the bottom line is the difference between عفو and صفح is one may do عفو but not صفح. He may pardon but not with that nonchalant way where you don't no longer make a big deal. بل يذكر هذا العدوان وهذه الإساءة. He remembers that transgression and that offense. لكن لا يأخذ بالذنب, but he will not hold him accountable for that. فصفح أبلغ من مجرد العفو. So then صفح is stronger than simply pardoning. جميل. وقوله ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم ألا للعرض. Do you not like that Allah Azza wa Jal, do you not love that Allah will pardon you? ألا للعرض, this is a proposing something, you know, you propose, would you not like this, but would you like some water, would you not like to have some coffee, something along these lines. بل نحب ذلك والجواب بل نحب ذلك. The answer is yes, we love that, we would love that. فإذا كنا نحب أن يغفر الله لنا فلنتعرض لأسباب المغفرة. So if we wish for Allah to forgive us, then let us utilize the means by which Allah's forgiveness is sought, which is forgiving and pardoning others when they transgress against us. ثم قال والله غفور رحيم. Then Allah says والله غفور is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. The Shaykh here also dealt with some language aspects which I will skip. نعم. وقوله رحيم المهم لأن المغفرة صفة دائمة لله. Forgiveness is a permanent quality of Allah عز وجل. وهي أيضا فعل يقع بكثرة. And it is something that happens abundantly. How often does Allah forgive the creation? All day, all night, right? فما أكثر مغفرة الله عز وجل وما أعظمه. How great, how abundant is Allah's forgiveness and how great is it? How it is. وقوله رحيم. هذا أيضا اسم فاعل. Again, grammar. رحيم is the one who is always showing mercy, the most merciful. الآية, and that does it. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقرن بين هذين الاسمين لأنهما دالان على معنى متشابه. Now Allah عز وجل often combines these two names in the Quran, right? How often you hear والله غفور رحيم, والله غفور رحيم, because they indicate a similar meaning. ففي المغفرة زوال المكروب وأثار الذنب. Through forgiveness, difficulty is alleviated and the consequences of sinning. وفي الرحمة حصول المطلوب, and through mercy you attain what is desired. وكما قال الله تعالى الجنة أنت رحمتي أرحم بك من أشاء. As Allah told Jannah, you are my mercy, I show mercy through you to whomever I will. يرحمك الله. You follow me? So this is how Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, He told Jannah that you are my mercy, meaning what are we looking for? Jannah. And so this is the matloob. Through the mercy of Allah, then one acquires that. And the third ayah, fil izza, which is again honor, might, power, depending on the context. وَهِيَ قَوْلُهُ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In which ayah, in which surah is this? This ayah, in which surah? وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. Hello, Surah Al-Munafiqun. Hey, come on you brothers, you hear this, you should hear this often. هذه الآية, ayah number 8. هذه الآية نزلت في مقابلة قول المنافقين لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل. The Shaykh said this ayah was revealed as refutation to the statement of the hypocrites who said, if we return to Al-Madinah, then the more honored with power will surely drive out those who are humiliated. يريدون أنهم الأعز. And they mean by that they are the ones with more honor and power. وَأَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْأَذَلُّونَ. And that the messenger of Allah and the companions, the believers, are the ones who are humiliated. So look at the munafiqeen, how twisted they were. Not only they were hypocrites, but they reached a point where they thought that they were honored and that the messenger of Allah and his companions are humiliated. And you only reach that point when you are blind. Right? As Allah says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is not the sight that goes blind, even though some people are blind. But when you're really blind is when your chest, it is the chest in the heart. The heart in the chest that goes blind. Where people no longer see the most basic truth and cannot recognize the most basic falsehood. And they twist things around, where the falsehood becomes the truth, and the truth becomes the falsehood. And then the worst of all that is they give da'wah to that. They give da'wah to the falsehood. So you have Christian missionaries, you know, out there, and so on and so forth, calling people to shirk, to trinity, to disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while they believe that, well, this is the deen, this is a religion, this is salvation. But this is what happens when the people turn away from Allah and they are too arrogant to obey Him. فَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ لَا عِزَّةَ لَهُمْ. Allah declared that they have no honor whatsoever. فضلاً عن أن يكونوا هم الأعزون. Let alone for them to even be more honored. They don't have zero honor. For them to be more honored than someone else is impossible. وأن العزة لله ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. And that my honor, in fact, belongs to Allah, to His Messenger, and to the believers. ومقتدى قول المنافقين أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم والمؤمنين هم الذين يخرجون المنافقين لأنهم أهل العزة والمنافقين أهل الذلة أو الذلة. A. And what is intended that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the believers will be the one who drive out the hypocrites because they are the people of honor, whereas the munafiqin are the people of humiliation. ولهذا كانوا يحسبون كل صيحة عليهم. They used to think every call, every warning was particularly against them. Anytime an ayah was revealed, the munafiqin يحذرون. They're afraid that an ayah will be revealed which will expose them. And Allah exposed them in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal exposed the munafiqin completely. And then they were exposed all across the Quran. And Allah told us, and you will see, وَمِنْهُمْ who does such and such and such, وَمِنْهُمْ who does such and such and such. And Allah described all of the qualities, so much so that one of the يعني, du'at compiled them in a book, I believe 60 qualities of the munafiqeen that are they known for. You know, whenever they approach salah, kasala, lazy. And so Ibn Abbas said, what is intended by that is, if one is around a jama'ah, he prays with the jama'ah. If he's on his own, he doesn't pray. Right? This is one interpretation. The other interpretation is that once the salah comes, they're tired. You see them, you know, before the maghrib on Jumu'ah, which is the last hour for making dua. You know, this is where the hadith, that there's an hour by which every dua of a believer who happens to be praying to Allah Azza wa Jal will be accepted. The ulama are different about which hour is it. But the most common and dominant opinion, Jumhur ulama, as far as I know, is this the last hour of Asr. Before Maghrib on Jumu'ah. This is the time when the Shabab are playing soccer. Right? So during the soccer game, you know, how much energy is being spent, right? You know, they're running back and forth. That as soon as the Salah comes, he's yawning the whole Salah. See, you were not yawning in the soccer game, right? But when the Salah came, SubhanAllah, then, I'm not saying that they're hypocrites, time out. But this is a quality of hypocrisy. It is a quality of hypocrisy. Now their condition, Allah knows about, right? We say that they have a quality of hypocrisy. You don't go say you're a munafiq and going to Jannah and the dark asfal and the nar. It's none of your business, right? But we say that, akhi, this is a quality of nifaq. You don't wake up for fajr. You don't wake up for fajr. Akhi, this is a quality of hypocrisy. You're in a danger zone. You know, the Prophet ﷺ called this person a munafiq. The most difficult salah for the munafiqeen. Salatul Fajr, Salatul Isha. And if they knew that there was a nice, you know, hefty bone, you know, some meat, some kapsa that they will find in the masjid, they will come with hastiness, right? If you knew that there was a Mercedes waiting for you, if you were the first one to walk into the masjid for Fajr, they will give you a key for the Mercedes parked outside, will be standing at the door of the masjid. Half an hour before the Adhan. Ah, brother, move, man, move. I came here earlier. But there's no Mercedes there. So, you know, the Adhan is being called, and 20 minutes later, half of the masjid shows, right? And then after the salah has been called, the other 40%, and when the salah is over, the second jama'ah comes, and the third jama'ah, and the fourth jama'ah. That's what it is. I don't know. Yeah. It's sad. It's so sad that it's funny. Right, but we should really be mindful of that and at least not belong to these groups. You know, I'm saying this so we will not be among them. Not to make fun of them, but not to belong to this particular group of people who are in a danger zone. You know, we're not going to enter Jannah. We may not enter Jannah with this kind of gambling. So we are no need of that attitude, inshallah. We try to be as good as we can. طيب. وَذَلِكَ لِذُلِّهِمْ وَهَلْعِهِمْ. And this is because the munafiqeen, because of their humiliation, they're panicking, they panic. As soon as they hear an ayah, they are afraid that it's going to expose them. وَكَانُوا إِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. And if they used to be, when they would meet the believers, they say, we believe like you. وَإِذَا, I don't know if you mentioned the one in Surah Al-Baqarah. خَوْفًا وَجُبْنًا. They said that out of fear and cowardness. They were cowards. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ. But when they are in seclusion with their shayateen, their likes, they will say, we're with you. We're just mocking them. We're just making fun of them. This is the epitome of humiliation. This is as as dishonored as one can get. أما المؤمنون فكانوا أعزاء بدينهم. قال الله عنهم في مجادلة أهل الكتاب فإن تولوا فقولوا شهدوا بأن مسلمون. As for the believers, then they were honored because of their religion, not because of their skin color, and not because of their nationality on their passport, and not because, you know, his grandfather was, you know, Maulana XYZ. No, they were honored because of their Islam. It is through Islam one is honored. Whoever he is, whatever background, whatever family tree he belongs to, it does not matter if he is muttaqi. He's among the muttaqin. He could be the biggest shot in the world in terms of lineage and be a disobedient to Allah. This is not going to make him any, is not going to honor him in the sight of the righteous people. Yes, the people who love the dunya, like Qarun, they will honor him. Say, we wish we had like, you know, like he had, until Allah made the earth to swallow him. Then they said, Alhamdulillah, Allah did not give us what he gave him. Otherwise, we would have been like him. So you find wicked people honoring wicked people. So crazy people think 50 cents or 50 halalas or 15 halalas or 1 halala, whatever they call him, people know more about him, is a big shot. He's a rapper, you know, who look like, you know, people just, somebody was born and he drew his whole biography on him. His tattoos everywhere, you know, he's been shot I don't know how many times. His whole life is rapping about, you know, women and drugs and smoking and drinking and, you know, wicked person. But the majority of the shabab outside, if you say 50 cents, as if you mentioned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their hearts tremble, you know, oh, this is the man. He's what? If a believer was to spit, he will avoid spitting on him, so not to contaminate the spit with someone like 50 cents. Right? So your spit will remain honorable on the ground rather than someone like that. This is the fact. But the youth today, Muslim youth, they put this man, you'll think that they're joking. So he's honored in the sight of who? Those who have weakness in Iman. For the believer, Allah wouldn't even speak to him. Allah's given him da'wah. If the chance comes to give him da'wah, we'll even have a big smile. Say, Ahlain, sit down Mr. 50 cents, or whatever they call you. We give him da'wah. But for me, when I see him to feel, you know, awe because of his status, A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. This is a shaitan from shayateen of ins. You know, we now have shayateen of ins and shayateen of jinn. And don't think this is extreme. This is how the Sahaba used to be. A woman would have her mother come to her house, and she would go to the Messenger of Allah. Oh, Messenger of Allah, she's a mushrika. Do I keep her? Do I keep talking to her? Or do I tell her to leave? You know, he told her, no, this is your mother, keep the kinship ties. The Sahaba didn't play. It's her mother. Hey, when it comes to the affairs of the deen, there was no compromising. We have so much compromising today that if you hear my speech, you say, whoa, brother, it's extreme. But it's not extreme. This is the attitude of the Sahaba. We have become so lenient. Where, ya Allah, everything, you know, khalli walli, everything goes. Everything goes. But you know what, brothers, everything doesn't go. That kind of stuff does not go. You either adhere to the teachings of Islam and we are honored by Islam, and we dishonor any non-Muslim, or we're not going to be successful in the life to come. Hasanan. So Allah described the believers when they argue with the people of the book. If they turn away, say, fashhadu, bear witness that we are Muslims. Huh? We don't say, I'm sorry, you know, you didn't accept my religion, I'm, you know, whatever, I respect your religion, you respect mine, which is something you hear all the time. I respect your religion, you respect mine. You know, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. And then if you have a Muslim saying, I respect your religion, you respect mine. You respect this belief, ya akhi. You respect someone worshipping others with Allah. You respect the people of the hellfire. No, we don't respect the disbelievers, and we don't respect their way of life or their belief system. Follow me. You with me on the same page here? So then the attitude of the Muslim, bear witness that we are Muslims. You don't like it? It's your loss. You were given a golden opportunity to enter paradise. You don't want it? Then no, bear witness that I'm a Muslim with proud honor and dignity. In my physical appearance, in my spiritual attitude, in my behavior, I'm a Muslim and I'm proud of it. No humiliation. Whether in the Muslim land or in the land of the disbelievers. It is because of that the Prophet ﷺ said that if you're walking down the street and you come across the people of the book, what do you do? What do we do if you're walking down an aisle and there are some kuffar coming on the opposite end? Do we move for them? No. He said, force them to the side of the road. If the believers come across disbelievers, You don't move out for them so they will take the middle path. Rather, we maintain a middle path and they have to go around us because of the izzah of the believers. Otherwise, you're given the kuffar an upper hand and you're moving for them. These are all from the theses of the deen that have become almost not found. And so, again, it's shocking to you that we have this attitude, because we have not seen this being manifested in the behavior of the Muslims. But believe me, the Sahaba used to be like that. Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, when some of the kuffar were wearing imamas, and starting resembling the Muslims, he did not allow the disbelievers to resemble the Muslims in their dress code. He forced them to rip their imamas, cut it off. You want to wear something that is particular to you and your people. Don't wear like the Muslims, so they will not be confused. Now it's the other way around. Now the Muslims want to look like the disbelievers, and you try to do it the other way, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But during their time, it's the kuffar trying to imitate the Muslims. You know Muta', Napoleon, right, from the Outlaws. In Philadelphia, where at some point when he used to travel, the kuffar in Philadelphia, they wear like the Muslims. Their jeans are above their ankles, right? They're wearing the Pakistani outfit, the two-piece, you know, the one that the kameez. They're wearing kufi, and they're kuffar with a beard. And the people are like, what are you doing? They thought that this was fashion, right? So the kuffar in Philly are imitating the Muslims. Wallahi, I've heard this from tens of brothers who went to a seminar in Philadelphia, back in some country, you know, from people that I know from back there, whatever, I'm Lebanese, I'm not American, but I'm just saying, they saw them, people working at grocery stores, kuffar, looking like a Muslim. You will see him, you say, Salaam Alaikum, he says, I'm not a Muslim, you know, I'm a Jehovah Witness or something. Why? Because the Muslims there had that attitude. They revert, especially reverts, mashallah. The one who enters into Islam is not like us, you know, playing around with the deen. He entered based on being convinced that this is the deen of Allah. They didn't make no compromise. They ala tool put everything into practice. So that honor that they had, it was felt by the kuffar. And so they started imitating them. So this is still available, just to prove to you that my point is valid. And you will not think that this is a form of extremism. فَيُعْلِلُونَهَا صَرِيحًا وَلَا يَخَفُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَهِمْ. So then they say it outwardly, and they are not afraid of anyone blaming of any blaming individual. طيب. And even though we will stop at this particular point, inshallah ta'ala, and the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala will deal in the continuation with the breakdown of izzah, and how the ulama divided the izzah itself into various categories, inshallah. Right? وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك